Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Toffee Blues Opposition View. As always, I'm Max, and coming up this weekend for the Blues, we're up against a side that are level on points with us, but just ahead on goal difference. That, of course, is the recently promoted outfit, Brighton and Hove Albion. I got the chance to sit down and talk to AD Packham of Albion Raw Radio, which is the Brighton radio show, just to talk about Brighton's recent good form and what he expects for the rest of the season. We're now joined by AD Packham of the Albion Raw, which is a Brighton and Hove Albion radio show. And AD, if my research served me correctly, this is Brighton's first appearance at Goodison in 36 years.
Yes, it's 1983. When we got promoted last year, a lot of our support, the Everton game is the one we're really, really, really looking forward to, because like we haven't played you since we were in the top flight last time.
Just to start off, your current unbeaten streak that you're on is impressive to say the least, particularly for a side that's just been promoted from the Championship. The last time you've got beat was the 10th of January, which is a 4-0 loss against Chelsea. But the
isn't that scoreline flat at Chelsea a little bit.
Yeah,
we gave them a 2-goal head start, and which you can never do to top the side like Chelsea. But we had two stonewall penalties, which we should have been given, which weren't, and we could have gone in 2-2 at half time. It would be a completely different game. And in that game, we tried a new formation. We tried playing three at the back, and for the most part, it actually worked. But the scoreline says completely different. And even on match of the day, they said this wasn't a 4-0 game. So, we're looking good at that.
Yeah, but since then, you've certainly responded well. Seven games unbeaten. I've got a 1-0 win against Middlesbrough in the FA Cup, a 1-1 draw away at Southampton, beat West Ham 3-1, a 1-1 draw against Stoke, which had a late penalty drama, which you saved.
Again, in that game, it was we should have been 2-3-0 up by time, but they got the equaliser. So it was a case of, we know that in this league you've got to take your chances to be successful, and that was a case in point. But it was a great save from Matty Ryan at the end, and they wanted to give us at least a point.
Yeah, just to round off the streak, a 3-1 win against Coventry, a 4-1 win against Swansea, and the latest win, which is, if I'm correct, a big win in the club's history, that 2-1 win against Arsenal.
It's nowhere near the biggest win in our history. That happened in 1997 at Edgar Street in Hereford, which basically meant pretty much our survival. 20 years ago, we very nearly went out of business. So, I mean, we look at that game as the most important in history, and everything else is just icing on the cake these days. Because, you know, we very nearly didn't have a club at all, and we offer solidarity to those other clubs that are struggling now, the likes of Blackpool and Hull, Coventry, who have, for want of a better phrase, bad ownership. I mean, you've got the likes of Arsenal whinging about the fact that Wenger's still there, but you know, you're sick in the league, and you know, you're playing at AC Milan today.
I mean,
it's not a do or die situation, and you know, they need to take a bit of a reality check, I think.
Yeah, by that, mate, I meant no disrespect to Brighton. I just meant in terms of Premier League. I know you've had a lot of trouble with boards in the past, and there have been several relocations of the club. But in terms of Premier League results, that was very impressive, and this Premier League season.
We knew that in order to survive in this league, we're going to have to beat one of the top six clubs. Arsenal are. It's not the Arsenal of Henry and Petit and Vieira, obviously, but the history books will still say that we beat Arsenal 2-1. And again, the scoreline flattered Arsenal a little bit. Could we could have taken our chances, we would have been 3 or 4 up.
Yeah, definitely, and that performance was certainly impressive. In terms of league position, you're level on points with Everton, but ahead on goal difference. So, certainly, I think coming into this game, you know, we're coming off the back of two straight losses. The confidence is low. The confidence will certainly be high at Brighton. How have you found this Premier League season? I know you said there that you felt it was a necessity to beat a top six team, but I've been particularly impressed with how you've played.
Yeah, I mean, this style's kind of evolved throughout the season, and we have noticed that the speed of our play is increased dramatically over the last few weeks. And the kind of metronome for that has been Jose Escuerdo, who's a Colombian, who we signed, was our club record signing from Bruges back in the end of the window. And, you know, it took him a while to settle in, but now he's one of the first names on the tee sheet. And, you know, his speed of thought and speed of play helps us play through those phases a lot quicker. But Chris Hughton's a fantastic manager. I mean, he sets the moral compass for the whole club, really. No one gets two up, no one gets two down. It's we know that we weren't expected to do, well, anything above 17th is going to be a bonus for us this season and gives us something to build on going forwards. But, we are looking okay, but we do tend to be a little bit more timid on the road.
Yeah, you've just mentioned there, and I was going to bring him up. Chris Hughton, since coming into the club since 2014, he's had a great impact on your style of play and how the team's really progressed. Can you touch on the impact that he's had since coming in?
He's just very, very calm. Like I said, he won't let anyone get too high after a victory. Anyone let anyone get too low after a defeat. It's you know, we the fact that he managed to keep us afloat after missing out on promotion by goal difference 2 years ago, and then getting us up again last year, we were disappointed not to finish the job and to end up with our hands on the trophy. But Chris is we're very, very surprised that when there's been managerial vacancies in the Premier League this season with the likes of yourselves and West Brom, that Chris hasn't actually been mentioned in any dispatches at all. And, because I think that's maybe because they know that they've got no chance of prizing away from Brighton. I mean, unless a team like Spurs or Arsenal or came knocking, I think Chris could be here for a very long time.
Yeah, then you touched on it there. You expected to finish around, you know, not much was expected. To say, and so I just, because obviously Everton and Brighton are in similar situations at the minute. Do you, as a Brighton supporter, do you find yourselves looking up or looking down?
I tend to keep my eyes closed, to be honest. I think we've got to keep looking down. We know we're not safe yet, and we've got that burning smell from down up the road underneath us. So we're very wary of them, and we've got to go up there in a couple of weeks. In the middle of April as well. So we know the job is not done, and we will not be putting our flip flops on at any particular moment in time, despite living on the beach.
Yeah. in terms of key players, and there's quite a, I mean, I know he's had numerous spells at the club, but Glenn Murray's having a particularly good season. I've got here, he scored.
Yeah, can't quite work out what's going on at the moment, because they're talking about calling him up for England at the moment. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Like Glenn's great. I mean, he's been with us for a while. You know, sometimes you have a player that just fits a certain club, and he's, you know, through both spells at the club. I mean, the fact that he went to Crystal Palace has left a bitter taste in quite a lot of our supporters' mouths, because we really don't like them. And the fact that he was successful there as well, kind of, it was a massive mistake by Gus Poyet to actually let him go at the time, because he was the best. We knew that we were guaranteed goals with him, and ironically, the player we signed to replace him, Craig McAll-Smith, would have been the perfect force to play alongside Glenn in that particular team. So, yeah, but I mean, he's proving a lot of his doubters wrong. A lot of people in the mainstream media and various other podcasts, etc., have said that they didn't think that they see Glenn as a Championship striker, but you know, he's scoring every game, and the fact that we've signed two strikers in the January window in Jurgen Lacadia and Leo Ojoa basically is boiling. They can't get the shirt off him, and Glenn knows that the only way he's going to stay in the side is by scoring goals. And that's exactly all he's done.
Yeah, obviously he will be the primary threat, shall we say, to an Everton defence that's low on confidence. Are there any other players in particular that you think can cause damage to Everton?
It's very much a case of we don't know what we're going to be playing. I mean, I suspect we'll be unchanged for the fourth game in a row. So that we'll see Izquierdo playing. We've got Anthony Knockhart, who seems to be finding his mojo again after a very, very slow season. I mentioned Jose Izquierdo, he's fantastic. Of course, we've got Shane Duffy, who you guys will know all about. Lewis Dunk, again, another player who's been tipped to possibly go to the World Cup. He's now a minus three own goals for the season after putting one on the right goal at the weekend. But you know what? Lewis is just a fantastic footballer, and he's a player that we rate very, very highly, and we could see fitting into somewhere like Man City or Arsenal or one of the top sides, because he's very calm. He just gets it. The reason he scores so many goals is because he's not scared to put his body where the boots are, and they've all been deflections pretty much, trying to get his body in the way of the ball. But it's we know it's going to be a very, very tight game on Saturday. We're prepared for that, and I think it could be a case of one goal wins it.
Yeah,
but we've got the solidity with the two central defenders. We've got a midfield two who've played every single game this season in Davy Purpa and Dale Stevens. In fact, we looked at this the player you signed in, Davy Klaassen, from Holland in the summer, for a lot more money than Purpa. And Purpa's the one that's playing for the Dutch side now, ironically, under Koeman.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned there that the solidity that you've got in that centre-back partnership of Lewis Dunk and Shane Duffy. Obviously, the Everton connection is there with Shane Duffy. Obviously, from an Evertonian perspective, he never really got given a fair go at Everton. Wasn't given a run of games in the first team. Ended up going out to Blackburn, and of course found his way to Brighton. Just describe what his path's been like at Brighton and how impressed you've been with him.
Well, he had a way of Fiat 500 for a start. He's a head it and boot it sort of player, as you probably know. He is very, very strong. We have had various question marks over a part of his play. He hit a dip in form recently. We've got a player waiting in the wings in Connor Goldson, who is as good, if not better. He's had to rise to that challenge because Connor is a fantastic player. And I don't know if you know anything about Connor, but he's the player that had a heart defect and had to have life-saving surgery last year. And he actually, in a game against Coventry, marked a year since the operation, which he marked with a goal. Shane is an uncomplicated player, and he's learning to make those booming passes that Lewis Dunk can make. We look at our team, and using the Arsenal game as a yardstick last week, we look at their team. Is there any player out of that Arsenal team that we would swap at the moment? Probably not.
Now, just on that note, and then to make it Everton related, just to close the show, is there anyone particular from the Everton side that you think could fit into the Brighton side?
I forgot to mention Pascal Gross, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the assist master. He's the one that everyone should be having in their dream teams as well. He's the one that's putting the ball on the plate for Glenn Murray. In fact, Glenn Murray, in an interview this week, said, what do you attribute all your goals to this season? And he said Pascal Gross. He's a player that we got from underneath the radar. And I had a quick nose through the Everton squad earlier on today. And you've got Guilfi is a tremendous player who you've certainly not seen the best of yet. And we look at the millions that you spent, you laid out in the summer. And you seem to buy a lot of exactly the same sort of player and not exactly what you needed. Now, I've been impressed that you managed to tempt Theo Walcott to Goodison. I think he is a player that he's one of those box office players. He's the sort of player that you go to see. It gets people off their seats, isn't he? But it's been, I think it's a stagnated season for Everton. I think there was a lot of excitement going into this season with you being in Europe, a decent end of the season last year, spending a lot of money, bringing in the likes of Guilfi. I'm guessing you guys aren't too keen on Allardyce at the moment.
No, definitely not, no.
How do you see your season going now? Because, I mean, do you think Sam will go before the end of the season? Do you think he'll go at the end of the season?
No, I don't think he's going to go before the end of the season. My personal opinion, I think when he was brought in, we hit the panic button far too early, and his instructions were to keep us up because it was looking like, you know, we were going to be relegation candidates. And
I know when you came to the Amex, actually, I mean, we were disappointed not to get the 3 points, and it was only a late penalty from Rooney that rescue a point in that game.
Yeah, so this season has been extremely underwhelming and certainly worrying at times for Everton. But I feel like Sam will leave at the end of this season, and hopefully we'll get a younger, more progressive manager in for next season, really. Yeah. But
the
third
one is available.
Well, just to end the show, mate, you mentioned Pascal Gross there, and I think he's a terrific German player, and I think he can definitely cause Everton problems, particularly with the back line being low on confidence. That being said, what do you think the game's going to go like, and what's your final prediction?
I think it's going to be tight. I've been having a cheeky quid here and there this season on us to win 1-0 and Shane Duffy to score, and I've been getting odds of 7-8-1 on it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I'd like to see an Albion 1-0 win with Shane Duffy to score. I think.
it really wouldn't surprise Evertonians the way.
When we played Blackburn, we went up there and he scored up there. So
yeah,
he does like scoring against his old club.
So I know.
There's a chance that could happen. Although I just jinxed it now. So well, obviously, it'll be 0-0.
Yeah, them moments do happen to Everton. We have former players and one goal wonders scoring against us all the time. So, again, AD, mate, thanks for coming on. It was great to talk to you, and all the best for the rest of the season. So, that's it for this week's show. Thanks to AD again for coming on. It was great to listen to his thoughts on Brighton this season, as well as to converse a little bit about Everton, just for him to give his views on Everton's season and how he thinks this Saturday's game will go. If you're enjoying the videos, make sure to like and comment, and make sure you subscribe.